Welcome to Let's Talk About Chris, Baby, the weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and everything geeky. My name's John Blair, and I'll be your host.
Episode 48, listeners, we creep ever closer to it being 12 months of this ridiculousness. And this week, this episode is going to be shorter and a lot lighter. I want to talk about legacy systems, because working in an agency, we inherit a few legacy systems in our line of work, and you've got to get to grips with it across the board. It's not just the developers, it's PMs, it's QAs, everyone. QAs? Yeah, that's what we are there. That's fine. We all need to know what the system does and how, and most importantly, why. Otherwise, we can't support it, we can't build on top of it, we can't offer new features or suggest things to them. So getting to know the system fully across a team is really important. So how would you go about doing that? So what personally what I do is firstly we do, not personally, it's not me, the company I work for, we do an audit of a site if we're bringing it over to our systems. Before it even comes over to us, if we can, we'll do like security, just a code check and everything. It helps both developers and system admins get to grips with any quirks, either with the code base or the hosting needs. We can also do like a security audit to make sure modules are up to date. If it's Magento, we can make sure any licenses that we need for modules, we can transfer ownership if we need to, we can sort out buying new licenses, things like that. It's basically just making sure everything's in order and we've got a good state of the site picture before we go in and start messing with things. Because once it has come over to us, we've got to start on actual functionality. Because at this point, we've had interaction with the client, so we've got a sense of what the site is for, who it's for, what the business area is. We can kind of start to get an idea of what the business needs and how the site meets them or doesn't. But sometimes the client doesn't have a huge in-depth knowledge of all the areas of the site. If there's some areas that they don't use very often, or if it's another team that uses them, then it might be that we need to get some more in-depth information before we can consider supporting the site or building on top of the foundation of the site. So documentation is always useful. I mean, even if you need a user guide or internal documentation or just sitting down with a client while they tell you how to use it, that can give you an insight into what bits of the system are used most often or what bits are most problematic and complicated, what features are needed or are used, and what information is pulled out, like the main uses of the system for stakeholders, of which there may be multiple, because there are multiple stakeholders, multiple teams. So that sort of documentation or internal knowledge is quite useful. If the documentation isn't present or it's out of date, then the code acts as documentation. Developers can work stuff out, and then we can take those features to the client and go, what about this? You can even do a kind of sitting with them while they work out the code and work out the features and how they interact if needed. And then finally, either really worst case scenario or something you want to do for yourself is just glumping around, see what you can find. Paired with any of the previous techniques I've just spoken about, it's a good way to get to grips with the system. And you can start to test it, even if you've got nothing to test against, you can start to test your assumptions, you can do some smoke tests, just to see if there are any areas of immediate weakness. And you can also start to build up a test suite, I guess. You can start building those sort of regression tests, automated tests up. Even if you've got nothing to work against, if you've got that time, if you've got that space, you may as well use it. If the only option you've got for whatever reason, I can't think of any reason it would be, but if you need to find out about a system solely by exploratory testing, it's not going to be comprehensive. You still will probably get useful things out of it, even if it's just a list of questions to take to a client and go, what? What is this? You can do that. You don't necessarily need to have requirements to test against. It just might not be as easy to get to grips with. If you've got a basic structure for the test session, if you can time box it and manage it properly, you can get some use out of it. So I tried to put together a basic structure because even though I am basing this on the worst possible case, which is you are literally doing extreme black box testing, where you're, it's not that you're not diving into the internal structures, it's you're not even sure what they are. But I think it's useful in other circumstances to be able to test your assumptions. I learn best by doing, so sometimes it's nice for me to get a bit of time just to sit down with a new system, even if we've got some of the above and we kind of know what's going on, just so I know what to expect when I'm testing other features and get to grips with that. So it obviously depends on the system because there's so many options here, but the basic kind of things you need to be looking at is figuring out your inputs, so valid, invalid, if there's multiple in one section, things like that. Even if you know nothing about what you're testing, if you've got a UI, you'll probably have some kind of clues on what sort of inputs you are accepted, and then you may be able to make educated guesses on your valid, invalid outputs from there. From there, you can figure out any outputs, and then obviously outputs can be anything from messages to full-on reports. And so you can figure out what input equals what output and what those outputs could be used for. Dependencies and interactions. Does one bit of the system or one output depend on multiple inputs or other bits of the systems? Can you try and draw out the structure of things? Like we've got a client who has a lot of forms that people fill in for grants, and it's a lot of interconnected forms. And so it is quite good. I have sat down and gone through and worked out what links to what and what links to what. It's quite useful to have that knowledge, because I said that's the best way. I learn a lot better by doing than by being told, and so that was a nice way for me to figure out what's what. And then you can hypothesize about all the testing you've just done, narrow things down, and you can always repeat until you've got a good picture, a good narrow picture of what things do. And if you take notes while you're doing all that, that's your start of the documentation, because if there isn't any, you can start some. Because you're going to need some internally if the new devs come in on the project, or if another team, marketing, design, business analyst kind of people come in. That sort of documentation about what we know about the site is useful, and so you may as well start it by throwing your test plan and what you found at them. Like I said, you can start writing regression tests if there's on present, or if there's some that are out of date. You can start filling those gaps in. Once you start working on the site, you're going to put regression tests on all new functionality. If there are some gaps that you can fill in while you're there, just fill in those gaps. You can even put in a section on each sprint, like a recurring task, to go, right, we're going to put some more automated tests in. Start with the most risky areas, which you may have got either from what's most risky to the business or what looks most risky from a technological point of view. Start filling those gaps. Start bringing it all in. Worst case, the code isn't up to standards, and or it's under-maintained, and you can't refactor it. It would involve chucking it all out and starting from scratch. You've got to work with what you've got the best you can, in which case you've got to start documenting that stuff, you've got to start documenting the vagaries, and you've got to start putting as much test in as you can. You need to start that as early as possible. You may as well start where you're going, I'm not sure what this does, but apparently it does this, but I'm not sure how or why it was this method was chosen, but this is what happens. You've got to start building that quality in as early as you can. Even if it's not related to any specific feature that you're building, if a system's come into you. Legacy systems are going to be awkward. Well, they're not going to be awkward. Sometimes they're fine. Sometimes they have been maintained fine. And sometimes they are not hacked together and, you know, it's all they're very simple and it's fine. I have focused on, like, the most awkward cases I could think of here. But you don't have to put that much effort in. If a site is fine, then you just start documenting internally anyway, because you're going to want those internal documents. You can bring the ones in that the client has if the client has documentation, but no one likes documentation. No one does. So it's very rarely kept as up-to-date as anyone would like it to be. So you can start sort of maintaining that internally and start putting all that stuff together, just so you've got a base for the other members of your team. I think you can learn a lot from a legacy system regardless of how well it's maintained or not. I think just getting to grips with a system that, when you don't have that necessarily input into what the code does and the choices that have been made, it's a challenge, but I think it's quite an interesting one. And you can get, learn a lot from just picking up an old system and seeing where you can run with it and seeing what you can find out when you have very little clue about what's going on. It's an entirely different thing to, like, when I want to build project, you know, I've gone in as early as possible in the planning, I've spoken to the clients early on, we've suggested and built these features together, it's a big group team effort. And then a legacy system comes along, it's just like, no, it's done, there you go, deal with it. And you don't necessarily, you have not had these in-depth discussions, you haven't got that relationship and that sense of knowing what the client would want and knowing what's a priority. And so it can be quite an interesting challenge. But it is interesting. I hope that helps someone. Yeah, so that's what I've been thinking about a lot in the past couple of weeks. And I hope you found it interesting. I'm going to leave it there. I will talk to you all next week for episode 49. And as always, let's talk about tests.xyz, let's talk about tests@gmail.com, let's talk tests on Twitter, let's talk about tests on Skype. So many ways to contact me, why not? I'm also on Slack under Jem Hill, both the testers Slack and the Ministry of Tests Slack. I hope you all have a good week. Bye!